So now Bhagwan is expanding a little more on what he means by bhajanti ananya manasa. When they say they worship me with mind only on me and nothing else, that is verse number 14. So verse number 14, chapter 9. Satatam kirtayanto maam.
Satatam kirtayanto maam.
Yatantascha dridhavritaha.
Yatantascha dridhavritaha.
Namasyantascha maam bhaktya.
Namasyantascha maam bhaktya.
Nityayukta upasate.
Nityayukta upasate.
Satatam kirtayanto maam. Yatantascha dridhavritaha namasyantascha maam bhaktya nityayukta upasate. So Bhagwan says that people who have their mind on me constantly and constantly are thinking of me and nothing else, what do they do? Satatam kirtayanto maam. Satatam means always kirtayan. Kirtayan means doing kirtan. So again, our idea of kirtan is what? We get together in temple and all, you know, have manjira and dholak. And that's good. That is kirtan. But how can we do satatam kirtan? 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But they do that. And yatantascha dridhavritaha. Yatanta means they put effort with a firm resolve. That this is all I want in life, like Parvati ji or like Rukmani ji or like Sita ji, that this is what I want in life. So they have firm resolve. I want nothing else except Bhagwan. And then what do? Namasyanti. And they bow down to me, maam bhaktya. They bow down to me in devotion. Bow down does not mean that Bhagwan needs us to come and bow down. It is for us to surrender our ego. We'll talk about that. Namasyanti cha, and they bow down to me with devotion, with bhakti, bhaktya, and nitya yukta upasate. Upasate means they not only worship me, but they sit close to me. Upasana, upa means near, asana means to sit. And nitya yukta, and their mind is constantly tuned to me, just as you have a radio and it's all the time tuned to your favorite, you know, music channel. The moment you turn on the car, the radio starts and you start hearing your favorite songs. So similarly, their mind, the moment they wake up, even in their sleep, they are remembering God. The moment they wake up, their mind is immediately connected to that divine channel. So let us see what it means. So kirtan, as we said, Gurudev says in his commentary, does not only mean noisy singing, that is good, but constant love and service, constantly seeing God in everybody, loving God and serving God. And serving God means serving the people. Loving God means loving people. So constant love and constant service and constant resolve that this is dridha vrata. Once the vrata means what I have resolved, I will do it regardless. And we see in the lives of saints so many obstacles. Look at Mirabai's life, look at Tukaram's life, look at Jesus, how many problems they had, how many difficulties, but their attachment to God was never broken. So, and that can only happen, as we had said in the previous verse, by selecting. I make the right choice. I choose the right and I reject the wrong. Whatever is false, whatever takes me away from my spiritual goal of reaching God, I reject. This is not important. This is false. And living a life of alertness. I was listening to Guruji last night. I hope you are. If not, please do go to Chinmaya channel on your YouTube and listen to Hamsa Gita. Beautiful commentaries, very simple, half an hour every day Guruji does. And he says, live a life of alertness. Be alert, you know, and don't let your mind wander away from God. Don't let your mind go away from these. And when he says, Namasyanti, when he bow down to me, means I surrender my ego. I surrender my ignorance. I surrender my selfishness and say, God, you alone. As we said, na tera, 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 everything is yours. Nothing belongs to me. So that surrender, because God alone is reliable. God alone is, and so have being steadfast in that. Nitya yukta, dridha vrata. Because worldly things will go away. Look at Rajasthan. You know, we have all these kings' palaces. You know, they were all these mighty emperors. And now what happened to them? They've all become hotels. They become Holiday Inn and, you know, Hyatt and all of them. They take. And anybody who pays $200, $500 can go live in the king's quarters. Where are those kings? They are living in some home somewhere. Their palace is now a hotel where anybody can come and throw dirt and do anything. So nothing of this world will give us. And be very alert, because the mind is very powerful. We don't know how, when the mind will take me away from my goal. So be very alert. That's what these saints tell us. That the mind can anytime, you know, you think you are doing very well, everything is good, and some temptation comes and suddenly you get distracted and your mind gets taken away. And if you, that's why we say read lives of saints. Today I'll talk about a Western saint. Mostly in our classes we have talked about Mirabai, Tukaram, Narsimha Mehta, you know, all of those great saints. But today we'll talk about a Western saint, Saint Teresa of Avila. I was reading her biography, beautiful story. So she was in Spain in the 16th century, and she used to meditate, and she was very different from the ordinary thinking of Catholics. You know, her thinking was very revolutionary. She used to, in those days, meditate, and she had probably learned meditation from some Eastern teachers, because she could actually levitate her body. Even while sitting, her body would rise above the ground several, you know, inches above. And that's why she used to get lost in thinking of God. And she had a very personal connection with God. And her specialty was she would establish new missions. She would go to cities where they didn't have a Catholic church or a mission, and she would establish missions there. And the people locally used to oppose and fight with her and threaten to kill her, but she was never afraid, and she, with her kind, loving nature, was able to convince everybody. Towards the end of the life, she got very sick. She was so sick that she got this influenza flu, and in those days they didn't have any good medicines, and she almost died, and she barely made it. And she said, now my life is over, I can't go anywhere, I can't travel. She could barely even get out of bed, and it was cold, and it was a very cold day, shivering. And she was sitting in her blanket and, you know, and having chills, and she couldn't get out of bed. And suddenly a message comes from the bishop that we need to set up a new mission somewhere else across the river, far away. She said, I can't go anywhere. I'm sick. It's so cold. I'm shivering. I'm getting chills. And you want me to go and set up? I can't do it. And suddenly a voice comes from within, and God tells her, I am your warmth. Why are you afraid? What are you afraid of? Cold? I am your warmth. And so she got up, and next morning she put on her clothes and she started on the journey. And as she was going, suddenly it became so cold, the temperature dropped, it was raining heavily, and it was such, and you know, they used to go in these little bullock carts or these little horse-driven wagons, which were very tiny, and the wind was blowing so hard, and the rain, and they couldn't even see where they are going. How, with great difficulty, they reached a river, and now they had to cross the river, and it was so stormy, they couldn't even see, and all the bridges of the river were broken. One tiny little fragile bridge was left, a little wooden bridge, which they were not even sure whether it will take the load of this wagon. She said, no, God has said, I will go. So she started going across that river, and the bridge was shaking and the storm, and suddenly the wagon was going to topple. She jumped out, and with great difficulty she held the wagon, and she was almost in the water, and the wagon, she was holding on somehow. And then she says, God, why do you test me like that? Why are you doing this to me? God says, because you are my friend. So she says, If this is how you treat your friends, it's no wonder you don't have many friends. Not many people consider you as their friend. That's why, that's how you treat your friends. I wonder what you do to your enemies. So apparently God heard her, and immediately the storm subsided and the rain slowed down, and slowly they were able to all cross. And even with her sickness and everything, she reached. So the point is that these great saints, their mind is constantly connected with God. They are constantly one with God. They can talk to God anytime. So the point is that what it means is that all our energy, in the verse number 13, it was talked about jnatva bhutadim avyayam, the path of knowledge, that I should have the right knowledge. So the jnana yoga was covered in the verse number 13, that my knowledge should be right, who is God and who is the soul. And in the 14th, bhakti and karma. So knowledge, devotion and karma yoga, right action. So all three, so with my body I serve God, with my mind I love God, with my intellect I know God. So that all the three paths should be practiced. One person may be more spiritual, one person may have more knowledge base, one person may love God more, one person may do more service, that is okay. But all our faculties should be directed towards that, and that's why Bhagavan has given these two verses next to each other. One is path of knowledge, other one is path of bhakti and karma. So throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan will keep reminding us of these. So what they say is yukta means they are always united, and constant practice and detachment, detaching from the world and holding on to God. So this is the essence of today's verses, that those who are materialistic and who just want what they want and just for sense indulgences, Bhagavan calls them Rakshas and Asura. And those who work for me, Bhagavan calls them Mahatma, who constantly remember me and work for me. So that is the essence of today's three beautiful verses, which the choice has been made very clear to us. Do I choose this or do I choose that? Bhagavan never says, this is, you must do it. He said, choice is yours. You pick what you want. So we are done. We have time. Anybody has any questions, any comments? Yes.
Dr. Mehta?
Yeah.
I've thought a lot about, the idea, the metaphor of the mind and the moon.
Yes.
And or the moon's reflection into a pool of water. And it's I think... It's so hard for me to really clear my mind. You talk about the vritti of your mind, clearing vritti, clear those waves,
right,
to get a reflection. So that's the hardest part about feeling the shakshi,
yes,
the Brahman.
Arjuna asked the same question in the 6th chapter, that I cannot control my mind. So Bhagavan says, abhyasa,
yeah,
and vairagya. By constant practice and by detachment. Why is my mind running to objects? Because I am attached. I am dependent on the objects for my happiness. So if I am depending on something, either I like or I dislike, somebody I dislike, then that thought will keep on coming. Why is this person doing that? Why is this? So in fact, people who I dislike, I'll think more about than people who I like.
That's
so
true.
Even when
That's
I
true.
Sit for meditation or I sit for prayer, so detach and do not have raga dvesha. That's what they say. Excessive likes and excessive dislikes. Does not mean you become like a statue, but not too much dependence on things for my happiness, and also do not that these things are causing me sorrow. So as I reduce raga dvesha, likes and dislikes, and as I detach from the world and see all the world as God's expression, even somebody who is mean to me or not nice to me, that is also God. God is teaching me a lesson. So constantly seeing God and constant practice. So like when you sit for meditation, in the beginning the mind will run when you're being a sakshi. But again and again, remind yourself. Read the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavan says, Every time your mind wanders, bring it back to the Sakshi. Your mind will wander to what is happening with Trump, or what is happening with, you know, the COVID, or what is happening with my children, or my family, or my work, or my money. Every time your mind wanders, bring it back. Yat yat charati mana, in the sixth chapter, Bhagavan says, as your mind wanders, bring it back. So with practice, it will happen. It just takes time. Because what happened is we have spent 50, 60, 70, 40 years of our life training our mind to look outward. So you have to train your mind to go inward. So with practice, with vairagya and abhyas, practice and detachment, and reducing likes and dislikes. Because the moment we have excessive likes and dislikes for anything, your mind will not stay. So see everything as God's expression, and it's okay. And even if somebody is good or bad, they will get the results of their karmas. Why should I, you know, bother my head about it? If somebody is doing wrong, let him. God will ultimately take care of him. So it's difficult. I agree. I have same problem. Even when I sit for meditation, my mind runs a lot. Again, because I'm very extrovert. You know, I've always been going outward, doing things and all. So I'm hoping to retire. I'm planning to retire in February. So after that, then my work will there won't be any work. I've already sold my office. So then I'll be able to spend more time in spirituality. So that will reduce. Study more. I'm planning to do Sanskrit classes, by the way. Kerry, I know you want to learn Sanskrit. So we'll be teaching Sanskrit, but that will start in March. So I'm planning to study more spirituality, spend more time in that.
Thank you. I look forward to that.
I know. You've always been. So we'll start from the basics, from, you know, the vocabulary and kakaga and all. And I'll try to connect it with Bhagavad Gita, how you can study Bhagavad Gita and give shlokas from Bhagavad Gita. So that. But that will start in March. I have 6 more months. But I'm cutting down my work. So as you work less, you have more time for God. That is very important.
Should I make an appointment right away?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it'll probably be a weekday in the around 11, 12 o'clock. That seems to be suit most people. But if evening works for majority, we can even do evening. But yeah, but that'll be not till March. But for now, we'll just do the classes online. For Sanskrit, we'll have to do them personally because we'll be writing on the board and all. I'll try, we may not be able to do it online, but we'll see. We can keep social distancing or something and try to do it if there's not many students.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So I have a question. So I was reading Swamiji's commentary.
Yes.
And I was confused by one of the lines that was in here. It says, this negative aspect of self withdrawal from the layers of non-self is indicated by bowing down to me. So I was a little bit confused about the negative aspect of self-withdrawal.
Yeah, I think what they're saying is that you can withdraw from God, but then turn towards doing other worldly things. You know, I withdraw from myself, but then I get involved in work. So when you withdraw from yourself, you surrender to Him, then all the negativities will be gone. So when I bow down, then I'm bowing down so that may I not, you know, do anything negative. Tan, man, dehra, everything, my body, mind, everything is yours. I offer it to you. So that may my mind never go on negative direction.
Okay,
thank you. That's good for, thank you for bringing it up. Rajiv, you were going to say something?
Well, you know, I was just thinking about the 13th verse, and especially the word Mahatman, the good soul. You know, knowing where we are, where we live, where the capitalistic society we live in, how would you define, or how would you, you know, if I have to give it 10 points on what the great soul is, what would that be?
I think think about what this verse has and the meaning of it, and see where I fit myself. See, these verses are not meant to point out somebody else, whether this Mahatma fits that or that. That is up to Bhagwan. It is, where do I fit in these 10 points? Suppose you have 10 criteria of a Mahatma. You know, he always remembers God, he serves God, he has no ego, he has no arrogance, he has no likes and dislikes, he loves everybody, he has no self. You know, all those, we can make our own list from listening to these verses. And then, out of this 10, how many do I fit in? This is for me to judge myself. And it is not to judge whether my wife fits in there, or my neighbor, or whether it's, you know, or some Swamiji I meet. It doesn't matter. Let them do what I do is I look at this and say that out of these 10, how many are there that I fit in and how many I don't? And if I don't, how can I bring myself? So constantly working on myself and making right choices. So that is the purpose of this, Mahatma, that I should become a Mahatma. And the question second comes is, who should I make as my guru? That may be another reason. You say, I want to know if this person is Mahatma or not. First of all, if my desire to know is strong, guru will come himself. Bhagwan will send somebody in my life. If not else, just make the books your guru. There are so many videos, so many audios. That's why I say you can go on the internet and find the right teacher with whom you can connect. And so that is my understanding. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, somewhat. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it's not to judge others. It's just for judging myself.
Yeah.
Do I fit in that or not? Anybody else? Request?
I had one question. I'm going to bring this up.
Go ahead.
You know, I sometimes find myself, you know, looking back in my lifetime, and, you know, I study like the Judeo-Christian Bible, particularly the Old Testament, and I always think about like the Ten Commandments, you know. It's like, and I think to myself, you know, if everybody just took these Ten Commandments, put them on their wall, and followed them.
Yes.
That would take care of 99% of the problems in the whole world forever.
True.
You know, there really is nothing like that in a lot of Eastern religions, Buddhist, Hindu. You
know. No, Buddha has the eight commandments. He has them, eight.
Yes, you're right.
In Buddhism, right. There. And even in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look in the 13th chapter, there are qualities of what one should have. In the 12th chapter, there are qualities of a devotee. 13th chapter, there's a whole list of... If they are there, all we have to do is find them. They are not as mentioned as it is but they are there in all of them. Bhagavad Gita is full of those.
Yamas and niyamas also, the rules that.
Yes. Yes. Yama and niyamas. Yes. So anyway, so we'll end.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay. If we can do the Hanuman Chalisa, and then we'll do the closing prayer. Gulshan and Kamlesh will do that.
Shri Guru Charana Saroj Raj Nij Man Mukur Sudhar Varnau Radubar Vimal Jasu Jodayat Phal Char Bodhin Tanu Janke Simro Pavan Kumar Bal Bodhi Vidya Dev Mohi Haru Kalesh Vikar Jai Hanuman Gyan Gun Sagar Jai Kapis Tehu Lotu Jagar Ram Dut Atulit Bal Dhamma Anjani Putra Pavan Sut Nama Mahabir Bikram Bajrangi Kumati Nivar Sumati Ke Sangi Kanchan Varan Viraj Subhesa Pranana Kundala Kunchit Kesa Hath Vajra Ardaya Dvaja Viraje Kane Muj Jane Usaje Shankar Suman Kesari Nandan Tej Pratap Mahajagbandan Vidyavan Guni Ati Chatur राम काज करबे को आतुर प्रभु चरित्र सुनिबे को रसिया राम लखन सीता मन बसिया सूक्ष्म रूप धरि सिंहि दिखावा विकट रूप धरि लंक जरावा भीम रूप धर असुर संहारे राम चंद्र के काज संभारे लाए सजीवन लखन जियाए श्री रघुवीर हर्ष उर लाए रघुपति कीनी बहुत बड़ाई तुम मम प्रिय भरत संभाई सहस बदन तुम रोजस गावे अस कहे श्रीपति कंठ लगावे सनकादिक ब्रह्मादि मुनीषा नारद शारद सहित महिषा यम कुबेर दिक्पाल जहाते कभी को विद कह सके कहते तुम उपकार सुग्रीव ही कीना राम मिलाए राजपद दीना तुमरो मंत्र विभीषण माना लंकेश्वर मैं सब जग जाना युग शास्त्र जो जन पर मानू लिलियो ताही मधुर फल जानू प्रभु मुद्रिका मेल मुख माही जल दिलांग गए अचरज नाई दुर्गम काज जगत के जेते सुगम अनुग्रह तुमरे देते राम द्वारे तुम रखवारी भूत नाग्या बिन पैसारी सब सुख ले तुम्हारी शरणा तुम रक्षक काहु को डरना आपन तेज समारो आपे तीनों लोक हाकते कापे भूत पिशाच निकट नहीं आवे महावीर जब नाम सुनावे नाशे लोग हरे सब पीरा जपत निरंतर हनुमत धीरा संकट से हनुमान छुड़ावे मन क्रम वचन ध्यान जो लावे सब पर राम तपस्वी राजा तिन के काज सकल तुम साजा और मनोरथ जो पैलावे सोई अमित जीवन फल पावे चारों युग प्रताप तुम्हारा है पर सिद्ध जगत उजियारा साधु संत के तुम रखवारे असुर नंदन राम दुलारे अष्ट सिद्धि नवनिधि के दाता असबर दीन जानकी माता राम रसायन तुमरे पासा सदा रहूं रघुपति के दासा तुमरे भजन राम को भावे जन्म जन्म के दुख बिसरावे अंधकाल रघुबर पुर जाई जहां जन्म हरि भक्त कहाई और देवता चित्त न धरई हनुमत से सर्व सुख करई संकट कटे मिटे सब पीरा जो से मेरे हनुमत बल पीरा जय 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 हनुमान गोसाई कृपा करो गुरुदेव की नाय जो सत पार पाठ कर जो छूटे बंदे महासुख होई जो जय पढ़े हनुमान चलीसा होए सिद्ध साखी दोई सा तुलसीदास सदा रिचेरा जयनाथ देव पवन तनय संकट हरण मंगल मूरति राम लखन सीता सहित हृदय सुरवर राम चंद्र की जय पवन सुत हनुमान की जय बोलो भाई सब संतन की जय.
Thank you very much. We'll do the closing prayers. Kayena vacha manasendriyerva buddhyatmana va prakrite svabhavat karomi adyat sakalam parasmai narayanayeti samarpayami नारायणायेति समर्पयामि सर्वे भवन्तु सुखिनः सर्वे सन्तु निरामयाः सर्वे भद्राणि पश्यन्तु मा कश्चित् दुःखभाग् भवेत् ॐ असतो मा सद्गमय तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमय मृत्योर्मामृतं गमय ओम शांति 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 ही हरि ही ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ही ओम. थैंक यू वेरी मच.